Hello, everyone. It's Scott Tips, and I am here in Beijing, China. And I apologize a little bit for the late start. My computer's been overheating, and I had to turn it off and let it cool down and restart it. So that accounts for the late start this time. In any event, it is March 20th, 2013. And I don't know if you heard my program last week, but hopefully you did. I was in the air at the time, so I wasn't able to be on, and I apologize for that. But on the other hand, it was a flight that was taking me here to China. And I want to tell you all about what's been going on here in China at the Codex Alimentarius committee meeting on food additives. It affects every single one of you, and it's important. And I'm here because of the National Health Federation that's paid my way to get here to deal with this issue, for the NHF team to deal with this issue, actually. But before we get into it, I want to go back two shows ago where we had the caller come in on when I was, ranting on Hugo Chavez and blessing the universe that saw his departure from this planet. And I just want to be clear that I really respect and appreciate the caller having called in. Even though he and I disagreed on Hugo Chavez, I really respect him for having stated his position and stated it well, as a matter of fact. And I know there are a lot of people out there who believe that because someone, and as you may recall, the Venezuelan dictator, elected person, Hugo Chavez, four times elected, with rigged ballots and stuff and voter intimidation, but, you know, reelected, just like Hitler was elected. this person is, looked at favorably by a lot of the world just simply because he thumbed his nose at the United States. Well, you know, I thumb my nose at the United States every single Codex meeting. But then so did Adolf Hitler and so did Joseph Stalin. Does that make them wonderful people that they should be admired? No, it doesn't. So let's forget about Hugo Chavez for a moment, and let me just posit this to you, because I should have thought of this at the time the caller called, and I didn't, even though I had the information. I had forgotten about it at the time. So pretend there's a tank commander, and a Venezuelan tank commander at that, so no telling how much they make a month, probably next to nothing. This tank commander takes over the government, gets democratically elected for whatever that means and is worth these days, stuffed ballot boxes, voter fraud, electoral fraud, voter intimidation, you name it, it's all there. Anyway, he gets quote marks around it, democratically elected. And by the time he dies, many years later, his family is worth $2 billion. So forget that this is Hugo Chavez. Would any of you out there in your reasonable minds think that such a person, such a man or woman who went in with almost literally nothing in his pockets, but comes out at the other end of the pipeline with $2 billion in family wealth, is someone who is clean? Is someone who is worthy of admiration? Is someone who hasn't looted the treasury and shunted contracts, government contracts and the like to his family? I mean, just think about it. That alone speaks volumes right there. Go in as a tank commander, come out worth $2 billion. Well, that's my view on that person, and good riddance to him and all like him. So here we are in Beijing, and it's about 4:11 in the morning here, and I got up to be able to do this program, but that's been pretty much par for the course here since I arrived on Thursday night. So there was a working group meeting that occurred first, and let me just say that and let me see, you know, I haven't been looking to see if anyone's been making comments on the chat line. And I'll just say hello to everyone there who's written me. And Spin said Hitler had 98% approval. No terror tactics were necessary. Well, there were the brown shirts, but yeah, you're basically right. Anyway, this committee meeting in Beijing is the Codex Committee on Food Additives. And this is the one that about 6 years ago was separated from the Contaminants in Food Committee. And it's actually a super, and is signed over to the Chinese government as the host government for this committee. And they've been running it ever since. The Rump Committee, the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Food, remained with the Dutch, and the meetings are held there, or in various locations that are agreed upon by that committee. But focusing on the Food Additives Committee, what we're looking at is basically aluminum-containing food additives, which the National Health Federation deems to be dangerous. And those of you living in the European Union will be happy to know that after the National Health Federation sounded the alarm back in 2008, actually earlier than that, but in an actual Codex meeting in 2008, the EU jumped on board, and they've been with us ever since on that issue. And then the other food additive that's considered at this meeting was aspartame. And that's an issue in which the NHF is all alone. So we don't have the backing of the EU on that. And so we've had to fight that battle alone. In any event, you have the working group, you have the committee, you have the commission up above it. So think of it as sort of like the grandparent, the commission, the parent, which is the committee, and the and the child, which is the working group. So the committee can't do all of the work. So they farm it out, as I've told you before, to the working groups. And what we've found in our experience at National Health Federation is if you don't go to the working group on something, then by the time it filters up to the committee level, 98% of the work, maybe 95% of the work and the decisions have been made. And the situation is that we've found we have to go to these working groups. So we had to come to this meeting early, and that meant flying out on Wednesday, a week ago, just to be able to be at the working group. The working group was chaired by the U.S. Government's designated person, and he actually chaired the meeting in a very fair and even balanced way, and we discussed the aluminum-containing food additives. So the EU, Norway, and the NHF spoke out very strongly against continuing aluminum-containing food additives. But what we found is the usual array of suspects. That's the Australian delegate who was particularly fond of aluminum, even though we claimed he wasn't, as he would tell the committee, or the working group, excuse me. He would tell the working group, well, look, we, of course, are in favor of reducing it. But on the other hand, we need to keep it there because we don't have any alternatives. And the U.S. would say the same thing, and Canada would say the same thing. So what's up with these people? Why do they keep doing it? Any of you who are listening to this program in Australia, I wish you would start agitating with the Australian government to totally throw out the Australian Codex delegation and replace it with people who have brains and hearts. And this is important, and it's a service you could do all of us, because we need to hogtie these people, these Australian delegates, because they just always are on the wrong side of the issue. I don't care what it is, whether it's nutrient reference values, ractopamine, melamine, you name it, they are like the stalking horse for the U.S. and Canada and the rest of the Anglo-Saxon world, excluding the U.K. because it's subsumed within the European Union. They're the stalking horse for the the really anti-health measures that Codex is pushing through. So anything that you Australians can do to protest, just let me know and do it, number one. And two, let me know that you're doing it, and maybe I can coordinate your activities, because there might be someone else who's also heard me and is doing this as well. And our NHF, Australian NHF members are undertaking this as well. So we need to coordinate that effort and do something to get rid of those Codex delegates. So here's the Australian delegate and making some pronouncements that are really very, very bad for health and keeping aluminum. Then we have the food industry, the International Council on Grocery Manufacturers Associations, the ICGMA, and IFAC, the International Food Additives Council, which are there talking about how they can't possibly not have replacements for aluminum food containing additives because it causes their equipment to overheat and catch fire. And then when I spoke out to the working group, and I spoke out probably at least 24 times, but when I spoke out on that issue right after IFAC had said that, and I'm sure, I mean, I know in my heart of hearts that IFAC is nothing more than an industry front group, and probably some very nasty ones, but we could never find their identity, the identity of their members. And if any of you can research that, any of you who are good with computer research and digging those out, look up International Food Additive Council. Try to find out who their members are and let me know. You can email it to me, Scott@monaco.mc, Mother Charlie, Scott@monaco.mc, and let me know what you found out, because we need that information, and we don't have all the resources in the world to do everything ourselves, so we appreciate any help you can give us. So IFAC, I-F-A-C. Anyway, IFAC claimed that their equipment would catch fire, the spraying equipment and all of that. So when it was my turn to speak immediately after, I said, I really kind of question this, because number one, it's easy to say something like that. Who's going to check on it? And so I basically said that to the committee or to the working group. And I said it's really not a genuine issue, because if the industry wanted to innovate, they almost certainly could do something to redesign their equipment so it wouldn't catch fire. Well, the chairman, the one and only time, came down on me and said, oh, it's not good of you to challenge the honesty or veracity of the industry, and we need to refrain from that here. And, you know, in the same way that the Australian delegate huffed and puffed when we said something negative about whatever Australia had said, the chairman didn't like it, because we, the NHF delegation, is not the most politically correct, diplomatic when it comes to it, delegation, but we did support the EU position. The EU position was really good on this issue of aluminum food containing additives, and that those of you in the EU, at least you can be happy about this part of the European Union. The UK delegate, by the way, came up to me at one point and said, I think the end of the first day of the working group, and said, thank you, and you did, we really appreciate what you said, and you said it so eloquently, which was very nice on her part. And but the industry basically has been against us on this. The one shining light amongst the industry organizations who have been there was the International Dairy Federation. We've always found them to be quite honest in their approach and what they've said, and they were asked at one point about the aluminum food additives, and they said, well, you know, quite honestly, we can't really comment on it, because this is, you know, not something we've had a problem with. So, and they said that, you know, they could have taken the same tack as IFAC and Grocery Manufacturers Associations, but that's pretty pretty much it. Anyway, this meeting went on for the full day and then some. And at the end of it, we reached compromises. So the bottom line is what came out of the working group as a recommendation to the committee to be accepted was a document. And in the document, they lowered the aluminum levels in food additives quite considerably, actually. And in about 45 cases, 45 different food additives, they actually deleted the aluminum-containing food additives. Now, this is important because, you know, we're getting inundated with aluminum out there, and it doesn't operate alone. And that's one of the things I pointed out to the working group is that, you know, they may do a study, JEGFA or some of these other expert consultation groups, they may do a study that shows that aluminum's okay for you at the levels they want, but it's not operating in isolation, and it's not the, certainly not the only source of aluminum. So this is an issue that the committee and the working groups need to consider, and they really don't. Fortunately, the EU picked up on this, and they were good about it, but this is something that is concern. On the aspartame issue, as I mentioned, we were the only ones to submit a paper on the subject against aspartame, although Indonesia or Nigeria was somewhat on our side, but the working group never had the moment or the time to really reach the aspartame issue, so they kicked the can down the road to the committee, and the committee in its meetings today, or this week, excuse me, because then the committee started on the 18th of March and had its main meetings Monday, Tuesday, and then today, Wednesday, it finished at 5 o'clock today, Beijing time, it never reached the aspartame issue. So it just created another working group, an electronic working group, to deal with this issue. So we'll be, NHF will be submitting papers and arguments on that, on that point. And so it's something that concerns us, and we'll stay on top of it. But the meeting is basically done for the week. Thursday is a day off. Friday, they will read the report. We will be there to review the report and make sure they don't fudge on any of the things that were agreed upon. And so that's basically it on the Codex Committee on Food Additives. Now, there has been a development since I've been here, which is kind of curious, but it's good. And that is that the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Food has asked NHF to speak out, give a speech on behalf of all consumers in the world on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of Codex. So we will be making that presentation. And I ought to point out as well that at this Codex Committee on Food Additives meeting here in Beijing, the NHF was the only consumer group present. Every other organization that was there was an industry trade organization. And then, of course, the countries are represented by FDA bureaucrats, and not people particularly interested in health freedom. So, you know, this is sort of the mentality that we face here day in and day out at the Codex meetings. And you really have to stay on top of stuff. And some of you have asked if Rima LeBeau and her Natural Solutions Foundation outfit were at this meeting. Well, quite frankly, they haven't attended a Codex meeting that I've known of in at least 2 years, probably 2.5 years. 2.5 years going on 3 years. And when they, it's important to know that when they attend a meeting, because there's a lot of misinformation going around, they don't attend it with the same status as the National Health Federation. We actually have recognized accredited status with Codex that we got back in 2002. So we've had it going on 12 years now, and that status enables us to speak out at the meeting, have a place at the table with our own microphone and being able to speak to all these issues and submit documents and interact in real time with the other delegates. When Rima LeBeau has ever gone, when she did go to these meetings, she had to be in the public gallery, just like any of you. Any of you listening to this program could go to a Codex meeting, but you'd sit in the public gallery. You couldn't say anything. You couldn't interact with the delegates as the meeting's going on. You can't submit papers. You just sit there like a bump on a log. You know, it's the same thing with the Alliance for Natural Health. They are, in my opinion, misleadingly touting that they're your voice for health freedom at a Codex meeting. Well, they went to one Codex meeting. I've been to more Codex meetings in my sleep. And that was the last one, and the ANH person was a member of the U.S. delegation. Well, I've been a member of the U.S. delegation when I first started going to Codex meetings. And you might as well be a bump on a log. You just sit there. You can't say anything. You even have to sign a document that promises the U.S. government that you won't lobby any of the other delegations to a position, a Codex position that is contrary to that of the U.S. government. So you're basically not only handcuffed, you are gagged. And that's an issue, in my opinion, with this claim that they're a voice for health freedom. They can't do anything, nor can Natural Solutions Foundation. So they can get out there and brag all they want about being helpful and trying to do something for health freedom at Codex, but they really can't, and they won't, because if you want to make a difference, you have to really be in the game. I hate to say it, but that's the only way to make a difference, and that's why we were able to make a difference with the melamine issue, why we were able to delay rectopamine along with the EU for many years, why we were able to delay the nutrient reference values from being lowered since 2009, and we're still fighting that issue. So you aren't able to do that from outside, and unfortunately, I wish we could, but it just doesn't work that way. And so keep that all in mind. So bottom line, just to recap, for those of you just joining us, because I see the numbers have gone up on the members online, Scott Tips here at Beijing, and the Codex Committee on Food Additives meeting has just ended today, at least in terms of the substantive part. We still have the report to go through on Friday. And bottom line, we had some victories on aluminum-containing food additives, the EU, Norway, and NHF. We eliminated a healthy number of aluminum-containing food additives. Others, almost all others, were reduced in value by at least cut in half. One or two were actually increased in chewing gum, believe it or not. Chewing gum, folks, has, unless you're chewing natural chewing gum, has a lot of aluminum in it. So be aware of that. That's one thing I learned here. And I actually didn't know that. Some of you may have known it. But in any event, that's the good news on the Codex front, is that we really chopped heavily into aluminum food additives. On aspartame, the committee kicked the can down the road and ran out of time to reach a decision on aspartame, but NHF is facing a real uphill battle, and all these aspartame food additives, quite honestly, are on the verge of being accepted at step 8, adopted, and the industry has really done a number on the country delegates about this, so it's really a shame. There's an outfit called the Calorie Control Council, which never met an artificial sweetener it didn't like. And the funny thing is, as we were sitting there at the NHF table, we could see ahead of us, they have Wi-Fi, of course, in the meeting room. We could see they were looking at the NHF website to look us over and see what we were about as we were speaking out at the working group meeting. So I thought that was very funny. So any of you who want to check us out, go to www.thenhf.com. So the, or the, T-H-E, and then our initials, nhf.com. You can click on the Codex button. If you want to read our aspartame paper submission that was given to and presumably read by all the Codex delegates who were there, then you will find it on our website. So go there. And you know what? While you're there, we don't have big industry dollars or pounds or euros to send us here. Please make a donation. We've made a concerted appeal through Facebook and through other means for donations. And for those of you out there, and you know who you are, who have donated to us for us to be here, we really sincerely appreciate it. You know, we don't spend your donation money frivolously at all. We aren't living high on the hog, and we aren't, we're trying to save money as much as we can while we do it. We don't travel first class like Rima LeBeau did to, and the captain and Tennille did to, South Africa at the meeting they went to there. We, travel very frugally. So we appreciate it. We are honored by the fact that you have this trust in us. And we intend to honor that. And I have to tell you, we do not win popularity contests at these meetings. People let us know that they don't really care for us, and you can see it in their body language. You can see it, they're avoiding us at times. But on the other hand, there are people who appreciate us. And again, I want to remind you that Codex is not monolithic. There are even people within Codex, within those offices, that like what we say and support us, verbally at least, not with money, but kind of on a moral plane, so to speak. The countries on these issues, like food additives and contaminants in food, that we've been most aligned with have been the European Union, Norway, and some of the third world countries as well, who have awakened, Malaysia, and believe it or not, Iran. Iran has been actually one of our best allies at these meetings, because they aren't beholden to anyone, and they aren't intimidated by the Anglo-Saxon countries to toe the party line there. So believe it or not, we have a lot of respect for the Iranian delegation at these meetings, as strange as that might seem. So the next meeting will be the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Food, and that's where we will, that's actually in Moscow, and that's where we will make the speech, and that is something to, I guess, look forward to. We'll see. But there's a lot of work to be done, and there's a lot of work that goes on between meetings as we have to write these documents up. So any of you listening who have some particular skills, you know, on these issues and knowledge on these issues of aspartame, aluminum food additives, on nutrient reference values, on GMO food, please contact me. And again, I'll give you my email address, which you can contact me at scott@monaco.mc, Mother Charlie, and write me. And just make sure on the subject line you put something like TNS Radio or Codex, so I don't think you're spam, because I didn't recognize your email address and automatically delete you. And definitely don't put Viagra in the subject line. Don't put Rolex watches. Don't put, I don't know, cute Filipino girls. None of that, because those get auto-delete as soon as I see them. So anyway, what else can I tell you about Codex? The weather here has been absolutely horrid. The first few days that we were here, you couldn't even see, you could barely see the sun through a haze. It was almost a Blade Runner-like look to it, with the sky kind of a brownish yellow orange, and really, really bad. And then I think on day three or four, the wind came through and blew it all out to who knows where. And So it's not the healthiest place to live. So I think it's something that, needs to be addressed, obviously, by the Chinese. But when you're here, you need to be very careful. And one of the things that we've been taking is, N-acetylcysteine, which helps with your lungs. And, someone has asked about, many people feeling that Codex has strong Agenda 21 issues and ask if I could address that. Well, I have to be honest with you. I'm up a bit on Agenda 21 issues, of course, because NHF and other outfits like the American Policy Center and others who are really strong on these issues have taken a stance against them. But we have others at NHF who are far, far more expert on the subject than I, but I'll do my best to address it anyway. And that is simply that Codex is, through its harmonization and globalization mission, is really acclimating people to accept very top-down, driven, elitist-driven control over their local lives. And Agenda 21 does the same thing. And as such, it's sort of a hand-in-glove approach, except that Agenda 21 deals with issues above and beyond simply food issues. Keep in mind, Codex is really about food. I mean, Codex Alimentarius simply means food code. So anything outside food, like drugs, like traditional herbal medicinal products, like cars, boats, global change, global climate change, things like that, issues like that, those are not addressed by Codex Alimentarius. They are strictly a food and beverage organization, and as such, they just don't go to those issues directly. But on the other hand, and they don't deal with medicine directly, other than in their indirect way. For example, by lowering the maximum permitted upper levels on vitamin and mineral dietary food supplements, they then recategorize them as medicines. So in that sense, they deal with it, but not in a direct sense. That's been something that we've written on. If you want to read more about it, go to our website, thenhf.com. Click on the Codex button, scan down through the articles till you find the ones that you're interested in. But insofar as Agenda 21 is concerned with changing communities and globalizing them and having people start looking to really unelected bureaucrats as the solution to their local problems, this all works together. They're, in my mind, on parallel tracks, but ones that have, these tracks have been coordinated, and they are a major concern. And Agenda 21 is a huge concern because it's disempowering the localities and turning power over to these unelected bureaucrats and rules and regulations that will essentially handcuff the citizenry. Because as I've said throughout nearly a year of having this program, you really need to have private property rights protected to have true freedom. Without private property rights, you can never have freedom because people will be able to control you. Even if it's through a democratically elected government, it's going to be through people that are less accountable to you, and the feedback mechanism from their bad actions will ensure less prosperity. It's just the nature of the game. You just can't avoid it. If you don't have immediate or near immediate responsibility for one's actions, then the more you distance that, the less there's a direct correlation. There's less prosperity. There's less innovation, there's less peace, and there's less security. So it all comes down to rule of law, private property in the free market, a true free market, not this sort of state capitalism that they try to pass off on us as a free market. That's such a corruption. It's a joke. It's closer to socialism and let's and endow all the rights and privileges in the state, which really means the bureaucrats, and not in the people. So this is what's going on. So let me go to another issue now. We've dealt with Codex. We have about 15 minutes left. And I want to warn you about internet privacy. There is a recent article that came out by Paul Rosenberg called "The Internet is Being Slaughtered in the Back Room." And I just want all of you, all of my friends out there, all the listeners to be aware of this. And you need to be aware of this. I know you are inherently, but it's a tendency of everyone, including myself, that, you know, as we use the internet for email, for Skype, for Facebook, for my face, whatever it is that's out there, that we tend to see the convenience in it and overlook the downside to it. So here's Paul Rosenberg talking, and he says, "All spy agencies will get your financial data. The Chicago Tribune is now confirming what we've been warning for some time, that every U.S. spy agency will have access to your financial data." And he goes to the story. Let me see if I can cut and paste this link into the chat line. So if you're on the chat line, you'll see this. If you aren't, then go to the chicagotribune.com/business/breaking/ and see if you can find that story. Let me cut and paste this. There we go. For those of you who want to go to the story directly, in any event, continuing on here, the story doesn't specify whether the IRS, that's the Internal Revenue Service in the U.S., investigative division is included in the list, but if you still don't think your rulers would stoop to that level, well, you're simply evading. There is one crucial thing to understand about this. The rulers have no choice. The fiat currency games of the ruling elite are getting difficult these days. I'll leave the details to the financial specialists, but debt is astronomical. Interest rates can never rise again without utterly killing national budgets. And inflation is just about to boil over. They need more money, lots of it, but the press is already running at full speed and the consequences are mounting. Now, let me interject at this stage. We all know, or you should all know, that the EU caused Cyprus to go in and seize, 6 to 7% of everyone's bank account, and maybe even up to 10% in Cyprus. Well, this just dovetails very nicely with what Paul Rosenberg is writing here, as he continues on to write. That leaves them only one acceptable choice: loot the producers. This has happened before, you understand. The closest example to ours is the end of the Roman Empire. The state had expanded beyond sustainability, yet the rulers wouldn't even consider scaling back. Boy, that describes us here. And then he gives a couple of charts, which obviously I can't show you, but I'll describe them. They basically show the content of silver in the Roman coins being cut down from 100% all the way down to 10%. That's how they inflated money in the past. Of course, they would debase the currency by diminishing the precious metal in it and increasing the other more common metal in it, like tin or lead or bronze. And then the chart, you know, if you look at a chart of the buying power of the U.S. dollar from 1913 down to almost nothing today, the value of the dollar has gone down considerably since then. So what's the point made? As the Romans ran out of economic room, they squeezed their citizens dry. People ran away in droves to escape. And here's even a quote from A.D. 440. From a contemporary Roman writer, he wrote at the time, Quote, thus, far and wide, they migrate either to the Goths or to the Bagudae or to other barbarians everywhere in power, yet they do not repent of having migrated. They prefer to live as freemen under an outward form of captivity than as captives under the appearance of liberty. Therefore, the name of Roman citizens, at one time not only greatly valued but dearly bought, is now repudiated and fled from, and it is almost considered not only base but even deserving of abhorrence. Close quote. And here's another, the same man's explanation of how things felt as Rome reached its end. Nobody thought of the state's expense. Nobody thought of the state's losses because the cost was not felt. The state itself sought how it might squander what it was already scarcely able to acquire. The heaping up of wealth, which had already exceeded its limit, was overflowing even into trifling matters. We are already poverty-stricken, yet we do not cease to be spendthrift. Doesn't this sound familiar? The point of this is that the internet is now a tool of the state, and its purpose is to aid in looting you. Shiny gadgets and free services won, libertarian programmers lost. Game over, though it was a good run. Get clear in your mind. The internet is now a surveillance web. Treat it accordingly. There are ways to protect yourself, of course, but they will cost you either in time or in money. If you're still looking for easy and free, grow up. That's a game for suckers. You get what you pay for. To protect yourself, you can either pay for a quality service or you can work for your protection. That means you'll have to obtain, install, and properly use these things. And then he gives a list. And I want to tell you that I don't recognize, nor did I have time to research all of these on the list. So I'm going to say them, some of them in complete ignorance of what they really mean. So bear with me as I do it. But to many of you out there, you'll probably know what I'm talking about. And if I mispronounce them, please don't laugh. So the first on the list is that you need to get to protect your privacy is Tor, T-O-R, or, and it looks like I2P, and then there's GPG, OTR, these are capital letters, by the way, OTR chat, and then a firewall made by people who acknowledge the importance of privacy. He also has on the list a reverse firewall, a MAC changer, and then use Firefox with NoScript and better privacy extensions, and an email client like Thunderbird, not Webmail. No more Google, no more Facebook, no more Twitter. Get into a security forum and pay attention to what's said there. The season of looting has begun. Be wise or be foolish. Paul Rosenberg. So I hope that is good advice to all of you out there. It's advice that I need to take myself. So it's sort of a case of do as I say, please, not as I do. And let me look at the chat line, see if there are any questions that I missed while I was reading all of that. You seem to be pretty fully engaged. And as Vince says, internet privacy, there is none. Lots of laughs. Yes, that is so true. And very, very true. So let me see. Scan back up. No one else? Okay. So here we are. We're near the end of the hour. And I just want to encourage you again to please, please, those of you who are out there, support the National Health Federation. We are the only health freedom organization that is at these Codex meetings and is speaking for you. It's kind of either ominous, very humbling, that when I've spoken at the Codex Committee on Food Additives, I have been the only voice for consumers worldwide. It's really amazing. There are no other consumer groups there. I guess you could make an argument that the EU representative, who has been quite good, by the way, and you should be proud of the EU, at least in this respect, spoke out very eloquently against aluminum and food additives. And so that's been good. But again, they don't speak, well, in this case, I suppose they speak for the consumer too, but they're speaking as government regulators, not as actual consumer voices. So in any event, now, any of you who are out there who would like a particular guest on my program, other than Barack Obama or Mr. Cameron or one of those, please email me at the address I've already given you and let me know some suggestions also for topics, and I'll be happy to get into them and if I can. And I'm fairly sure I will be able to do the program next week. I think I, by that point, I'll be back in Europe and I will be able to carry on the program from there. I'm not sure yet whether I'll have a guest or not, but if not, I'll give you another report on what's going on in the world and things that are there. Now, unless anyone else has some special topic or question, and I don't see it here on the chat line, I may just sign off. It's almost 5 a.m. here in Beijing, and I got up specially to do this program. And I think I'll leave it in peace, and maybe this time not actually infringe on poor Sean McGuire's time as I'm want to do. And he's always been so gracious. So for those of you who are on the line, and I see the numbers are increasing for this always irrepressible Sean McGuire, please stay on for him. And I want you all, one and all, to know that at these Codex meetings, I really think about you guys and gals, and I realize I have a huge responsibility because I'm speaking for you. So if I have to err on the side of speaking out at the meeting, I will speak out, even if it, the other delegates think I'm foolish or if they attack me as they often do, or they misinterpret what I say and then state it back to the other Codex delegates. It's still a privilege to do all of that for you. So thank you, one and all, and I will talk to you next week. So have a good show. Stay tuned for Sean, and thank you all for your support and for being there. Bye now.